Tonight's shiur, Bez Hashem, is the closing shiur for the season. So let us just maybe reiterate something that we have mentioned again at the start. The decision was made to learn the Sefer Shaarei Teshuva. Probably one doesn't have to say more in order to convey the significance of the Sefer Shaarei Teshuva. First of all, the fact is that it was written by a Rishon. You're talking about the medieval period. Ben Yoina, who was born in the late 1100s, and he passed away in 1263, you know, in Toledo. When you're talking about these kind of people, it's not only that they taught Avodas Hashem and Musar and Yerushalayim, but actually they really encompassed it to the higher level. And many times you have people teaching courses or teaching ethics and so on and so forth, and yet their own private lives are very far removed. But these people, we can only hope to aspire even to be able to touch them, you know, in the smallest way, to reach at least some of the great madrigas that they have achieved. And basically they were the embodiment of the Torah that they taught. And again, just to highlight about some of other great people of great stature, of course, in the world of Gedolei Yisrael and Sfarim, who have commented regarding the Shaarei Teshuva. It's kedai again to mention what the Chido wrote. The Chido wrote in a sefer called Shema Gedolim. Chido again, and lived in the 1700s. And the Chido writes regarding the sefer Shaarei Teshuva, Bar Ben Yoina. He calls him the saint. He says they are gates of excellence, he writes, to awaken, he says, the neshama to fear of heaven, v'yir shemayim. And the Chido writes that his Dvarim HaKadoshim, his holy words, serve to break the hearts of stone. Which means if you learn a little bit of the Sefer Shaarei Teshuva, no matter how hard of a heart you may have, but that is the power of the Sefer Shaarei Teshuva, to be able to break even a heart of stone. And the Chido goes on to say that fortunate and lucky, he says, is one who is worthy, he says, of paying daily attendance upon his doors. Now this is a metaphor, being that the Sefer is called the gates of repentance. So if you're able to visit those doors, he says this is a tremendous opportunity, and one, matter of fact, should consider himself worthy of being able to pay daily attendance, to have some shaykh, to have some connection with the Sefer on a daily basis, or at least once in a while, as we have learned it. And he goes on further and says that anyone, says the Chido, who learns the Sefer Shaarei Teshuva, he says, becomes imbibed with the holiness and the saintliness, and his heart will be very quick to repent, he says, because the holy words of Rabbi Yoin will enter into and will illuminate the heart of those that study the Sefer. So this is the words of the great Chido himself, who was one of the great people on his own. And we see how the hachnoah that he has, and the humility, and the understanding, and the appreciation of the great works of the Shaarei Teshuva Rabbi Yoin. Also, let's just be reminded again what Rabbeinu Bachaya, one of the great commentaries, of course, al HaTorah, again, one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bachaya writes in the Hakdama to Sefer al HaTorah, and says that I've gleaned from all over in order to give commentary and to give Perushim on the Torah. And he says, from the commentaries of a holy one, he says, who speaks greatness and truth, he said, I will mention, he says, the man, he says, the Ish Elokim, the pillar, he says, and the cornerstone of Torah, the exalted teacher, Rabbeinu Yoina, he says, of blessed memory, Zechron Levracha. And he goes on, Rabbeinu Bachaya, and he says, that I shall make his words a crown of glory, he says, upon my head, for the revival of my neshama. This is Rabbeinu Bachaya writing, using the words of Rabbeinu Yoina as a revival of his own neshama. He says, how much dearer are his writings than gold and the most precious of stones. And it is mentioned, as we had said, that Rabbeinu Yoina was a first cousin of the Ramban. In other words, Ramban's mother was a sister to the father of Rabbeinu Yoina. And when Rabbeinu Yoina was nifter, in great rarity, Ramban wrote a kino, wrote an elegy. He wrote, expressing his tsar, expressing his pain, and to the loss of the world, expressed in words, the loss of Rabbeinu Yoina's petira, and the void that he left in the world. So let me give you just a few lines. He writes, Heililu hei leyoim hukva. says, make moan upon the day that was designated by Bechil Adairis. It has become a day of mourning, he says, for all generations. The day of the Patir, the day of the passing of Rabbeinu Yoina, is a day of mourning. The Ramban writes this, is a day of mourning for all generations. And he goes further, he says, Yisrabu boy atloyis, travail increased, and he writes that tribulation was remembered. He says, when the head plate, he says, of Klal Yisrael was removed. That is Rabbeinu Yoina's Patir. The crown, he says, was taken off. Rav Yoina, he says, was the Avi Ho'emes. He was the father of virtue, he writes. He was the Avi Ho'emes, he says, unique in purity. And he says, woe to the fact that we have lost, the world has lost saintliness. With the passing of Rabbeinu Yoina, the world has lost saintliness, writes Ramban. Woe to humility. The world now has lost humility with the passing of Rabbeinu Yoina. Woe piety, he says, and so on and so forth. Woe Mishnah and Gemara. The world of Mishnah and Gemara has lost a great mentor, a great teacher, a great Marbitz Torah. He says, woe to Scripture, he says, and to Mesoira. Woe to Talmud and Tosfos. And it goes on and on and on. Woe, he says, are lamented, he says, in whom, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Luchos, he says, and now the Luchos have lost, has lost its splendor because we don't have the appropriate person who has the ability to teach it in the way it was intended. And so on and so forth. And then Ramban says, so with all of this great pain, he says, that I am bearing, he says, with the passing of Rabbeinu Yoina, in addition to the loss of the world, what will console me? What will console me? He said, there's one thing, well, I will find the Choma. There's one thing, Achas Hili Nechoma, writes the Ramban. There's one thing that can give me Nechoma with the loss of Rabbeinu Yoina. You know what that is? He says, when I will die, I will meet him in Shemayim, he says. That will be my Nechoma. The Loshen is, he says, Yoim Uval Lekvorois, the day when I am brought, says the Ramban, unto my grave, Erze Betzedek Ponecho. I will see your face, he says, in countenance, he says, and in righteousness, he says, Tazir Bezoyar Hamoiris, your shining light of the constellations, and so on. So, more does not have to be said. Again, to get a little bit of appreciation, you know, of the Sefer that we have been privileged to learn. This is actually the Shir number 20 Shurim. For some reason, this is a little bit less than any other season. I think we've done like 24, 5, and sometimes 28, and sometimes 30 we have. We'll see next season, Mechim, with Sefer, we will study, I'm not sure. And maybe we'll go back to Nefesh HaChaim. Maybe a different Sefer of Rabbeinu Yoina, we'll see. So still some time to think about it. Let me just mention that in last week's Shir, Rabbeinu Yoina quoted the Mishnah, Masechtas Ovis. So Ovis, the Mishnah gave us a description of who are those that are Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. Who are those that are considered to be Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? And the Mishnah gives us those that have refined their character in specifically three areas. Three areas was mentioned was Ayin Toivo, person who has a kind eye, Ruach Nemoicha, person who has a humble spirit, the Nefesh Shefela. Nefesh Shefela, Rabbeinu Yoina's opinion was, Nefesh Shefela means a person basically who conquers his desires. That was his interpretation, Nefesh Shefela. But the usual question is, you know, if you're talking about people who have refined their midos in these areas, why do we call them, in other words, Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? Who are the Talmidim of Bilam? Who are the opposite? In other words, the Talmidim of Bilam, instead of Ayin Tov, instead of having a kind eye, they have a wicked eye, they have an evil eye. Instead of having a lowly spirit or a humble spirit, they have an arrogant spirit. Well, why don't you use these character traits or these identifications as marking the distinction between Avraham Avinu himself and Bilam HaRosha? In other words, Avraham Avinu is a person of refined character. He has an Ayin Toivo, he has a Ruach Nemoicha, he has a humble spirit, and so on. Bilam not. Why are we saying the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu versus the Talmidim of Bilam? Why don't we use these three definitions describing Avraham Avinu himself and Bilam? And the answer that the Mefarshim point out is because you can find great people who can pose, you know, in public as being people of character, but no one knows really what's in their mind, why they are doing these things. Is it because truly they have refined their midos, or they have ulterior motives? But whatever the situation is, you can fool people regarding what yourself are, but it'll come out in your students. When you're teaching your students, if you are not really in the Madrega, if you basically don't embody these character traits, you yourself may be able to pose as someone else who you really are not. But eventually in the Talmidim it will come out. So Ma Bein Talmidov Shel Avraham Avinu, right, what is the difference between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and to the difference of Bilam Rosh? Bilam Rosh might pose to be a Gvaldig of Balmidis, a tremendous Balmidis. He can fool you. Many people pose and show up front, actually, as think situations which they are not really, and it takes something a long time to find out, but they slip many times. But in the Talmidim, eventually, certainly there, it will be noticed. So we will move on. Let me just mention, because when Yoni was talking about so much regarding about the idea of the Baal Tshuva, to work on the fact of conquering his desires, so I just want to mention some words of the Tzadik HaKohen. The Tzadik HaKohen actually writes in the Sefer Pri Tzadik, actually writes it in a number of places, he mentions it, but I'll just show you one area. There are people, of course, and most people. We all are human beings, and therefore we have temptations in many, many areas. And situations where we have very strong temptations, and we tend to slip more often than not. And a person sometimes falls in a situation, therefore thinking that he really is so weak that he does not have the ability to overcome these areas, because the temptations in these particular areas are so strong. So Tzadik writes just the opposite. And these are the following words he writes. In Sitkas HaTzadik, it says, in Ois Mem Dalet, he says, Mi sheyesh lo tshuka gedoyla l'tayves haguf. If a person finds that he has a tremendous desire, he's drawn, he's attracted to tayves haguf, to the desires of the body, al yis atzei bozeh, says Reb Tzadik, he should not despair and be saddened, lachshoiv, and to think, he says, what a bad person I am. He has all types of thoughts, immoral thoughts, all types of thoughts go through his mind, which are inappropriate thoughts, and he says to himself, what a kind of a bad person must I be? And thereby he loses the strength to really try to be a true Eved Hashem, because he says to himself, look how weak I am. Said the Tzadik, no. Ki adrabe. Just the opposite. Hu klimuchen letoikef ahavas uchukes drishas lemes. It means, if you have a drive, if you have a desire, if you have a person who has a strong desire, maybe now it comes out in an area that is wrong. The fact that you have the ability of desire, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you that you should really channel the power of desire and that energy in a positive direction. And he says, Ukemoy, as we find, Shenichmoy Haisabel Abaye, there's the Gemara Mesach Tesukeh, where Abaye also was very saddened. The Gemara tells us the greater the person is, the greater Yetzer Hara he has, because in order to keep the balance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us that every person has a Bechira, we have free choice, free will. Now, if it would be out of balance, then we lose our free will. So the greater we are, so in order that we still have a test while we are alive, so the Yetzer Hara also accordingly grows. Therefore, Abaye was very upset, the Gemara says in Sukkah, when he realized that the Yetzer Hara is attacking him to such strength, he says, how can it be that I, Abaye, such a holy person, a man of Kedusha and Amayre? So Chazal say that Abaye was told, don't despair, because precisely because you are so great, that's why you have that greater Yetzer Hara. So the Tzadik HaKohen says, so you see, if you have a great big Yetzer Hara, it means you also have the other side. You have the power of Kedusha within you, because the Kedusha gave you a balance. You may not recognize, you may not be aware of it. So the Tzaddik says, I am making you aware. If you feel that you are so strong on the negative side, your desires are so strong on the negative side, it also means that you have within you the strength on the positive side also, that it's up to you to be able to connect with that positive side and to work at it to bring that out, he says. So points out Reb Tzadik. And by the way, Reb Tzadik is so firmly connected with this Hashkofe, that if a person finds himself being so weak in desires, in the wrong areas, that shows him he also has tremendous strength. I mean, tremendous desire in negativity means he has positive strength. On the other side, he says it many, many times. He also says in Siddhika Satsadik in Ois Memtes, he says in Siddhika Satsadik in Ois Kof Peyalef. I'll just give you another place where he says the following. He says, "Kol odom sheesh lo chemde miyuchedes." Any person who has a desire in a particular area. Ubeoysoy dover, he says, "Shechemdosoy v'tavosoy goyveres beyoyser bedover ze atzmoy hu kli muchen lekabel birchas Hashem." In that area where you have a desire, now it comes out and emerges in a negative way. I want you to know that you have the ability to transform that desire in a positive way. That is your avoida to receive it, the birchas Hashem. As long as you are ready to return to Hashem with all your heart. Hayin lahakir, to recognize shechem dezu hanetua boi mashem yizbora, that this desire was planted within you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this should serve as a sign, as a simon, that you have the ability. Dafk in that area where you think you're weak, it means you have the same strength on the other side as well. But this is the area that you have to focus on to bring out the strength on the positive side. So this is a great nechama for most people. When they find themselves weak in so many areas, the weaker you feel in the other areas, it means you have strength on the other side as well. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with a balance. And that weakness means that's the mokem of strength also. So we not recognize it, but now the Tzaddik tells us, so we know there's something that we have to look out for and try to reveal it and try to discover it within ourselves. Let me just conclude on this nekuda before we move into the Shari Tshuva. And that is, there is a very, very fascinating letter from the famous Mashgiach of Manchester, Rabbi Yehuda Siegel. Great Tzaddik, of course, well-known person who was highly regarded and revered. People used to go with him. Very unusual to have a Litvish Mashgiach. People came from all over to ask brachas from him. Very highly respected also by the Satan Rebbe, Zichron Levracha. And Rabbi Yehuda Siegel, I remember many years ago, we had Rav Sholem Shvadron over here. So he spent time, he said a number of drushes here in the shul. Once he said a drush, I believe it was in the ICQ, or maybe in the Aguda. We had him at our Shabbos table many times. So once came, the shmuz came, the talk came about regarding Rav Siegel. And Rav Shvadron considered himself to be a Talmud of Rav Siegel. When he lost his own, the Mashgichim of yesteryear, of old, the great Mashgichim that he had, so when he lost his Rabbeim, Rabbi Elapian and so on, so he accepted upon himself, he says, Rabbi Yehuda Siegel says, I need a Rebbe. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda Siegel says, he's going to be my Rebbe. So sitting here at the Shabbos table, so I once asked him, he says, how would you describe, he says, the greatness, he says, of Rabbi Yehuda Siegel? So he says to him, he says, I'll just tell you one thing, he says, in my opinion, he says, in his chus, a quarter of the world, surely, he upholds, he says, just this one man alone. Afer tul veld zicher, he says, shteten zayn schus, this is what he said. He said, maybe more, he says, but I can tell you a quarter of the world, he said, for sure. That was his opinion. Anyway, Rav Yehuda Siegel in the letter, someone wrote to him regarding the fact is that he finds himself very difficult to control, he says, all types of thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, immoral thoughts, and so on and so forth. And this is what Rav Yehuda Siegel wrote. And this is in Haskom, actually. He wrote these words in Haskom to a sefer that's called Eitzois V'Hadrochis, advice and guidance in areas of Avodas Hashem. So give an approbation, give an Haskom to that sefer. So he writes as follows. Gam zehu inyan shel hirhurim, he says, when a person has immoral thoughts, kiv mishenikva betkifas, he says, Eitzel ben Toire. When a ben Toire finds himself, he finds himself being attacked by these kind of machshavos, she'ena roitze, which really he does not want it. She'yovi lo yishum hira klal klal. He really doesn't want it, but he can't help himself. Somehow these thoughts find themselves in his mind. V'kashu bo he'hirhurim, and when these thoughts, he says, come into his mind, oz marich melchoma kenegda, he tries to fight it off. He says, mizeh mis'oiris etzlo hisnagdus, he says, so that really causes him his nagdus, which means, he says, very interesting, the more sometimes you try to fight off a negative thought, the more you're going to think it. It's human nature. It becomes a vicious cycle. I mean, this is something that works also with people who have anxiety attacks. It's an uncanny thing. People try to rationalize, says, why am I anxious about a certain thing? People are anxious. People are anxious sometimes about things that they try to explain it on paper, they say, I don't understand, why am I nervous about this? I mean, people are anxious about public speaking, they say, most people are, and there's other things as well. Some people have anxiety going to the omid, can't daven for the omid. Some people, even to make a bracha when they're called up to the Torah for an aliyah, they get anxious, but it's not long-lasting, so it's not. But when it comes to a lengthy situation, then they get attacks, which sometimes they get dizzy spells, and so on and so forth. And then they start thinking within themselves. It says, why am I anxious? I should not be anxious. So the more he starts thinking, good reason why I should not be anxious, and he feels guilty, but not that itself precipitates him to be anxious again. So fighting it off again brings it on, and then gets even more. So the more power that he tries to utilize to fight it off, that itself precipitates it even more. So it goes step by step, even higher and higher. And this is the way it keeps on turning. So this is something which is already mentioned where the Rav Yehuda Siegel writes it. So a person tries to fight off, he says, machshavos with all his power, sometimes that itself will cause the stubbornness of the machshava dafka to linger in his mind. So what's the Yetzer? So what is the Yetzer then? So he says, V'nochetz moed l'das. It's important to know mashikos b'sefer derech pekudecho. Zeh l'shoyner. Da yedidi. Kein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo b'trunim b'riyosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not indict you for something that you can't control. V'cholila lachshev ala boire. Cholila to have thoughts against HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to consider to be a sin if you were attacked. Now the idea is not to put yourself in these ways. Sometimes we're guilty of our own. Sometimes we approach ourselves to certain materials and to viewing certain things, so we are bringing on these thoughts. You know, but then we can be held accountable. Why did we do that? But things happen even due to no fault of our own. He says at that point, he says, you have a machshova bepes episoim, he says, that would be an oinis. He says, v'oinis rachmona patria. Of course, you try not to linger to keep it in your mind, but at the same time, if you're unsuccessful, Yehuda Siegel says, don't let it consume you, because the more guilty you're going to feel about it, he says, the worse it's going to be with it. So the idea is just let it ride, something you don't want, and then hopefully, Bez Hashem, the more calmer you're going to be about it, you'll be matzliach, to be able to control it. And ultimately, instead of it possessing you, you're going to be able to be in control of your thoughts. So this is, again, another important thought, again, in this area of Avodas Hashem. So let's go further now to the Shari Tshuva we're up to here. And this is Sif Lamed Zayin, we're up to. Shari Tshuva Ben Yoni says, this is Ho'ikar Ho'achad Osa. We're talking here about the 11th principle for the Baal Tshuva. The 11th principle. What is the 11th principle? The 11th principle is Chippus Derochov. It means a person should examine his ways. It means he starts searching. Starts searching and finding out, trying to find out, Lamed Vov. Yeah? Chippus Derochov. Ki'inyin Shenema, as the Pesuk says in Eicho. It says in Eicho, it says, Nach Beso Derochenu V'nach Koiro V'nashuv Ad Hashem. It says in Eicho, let us search and examine our ways. You realize what it says, the Loshon. There is a double Loshon here. It says, Nach Beso, it says, let us search. And then it says also, V'nach Koiro, let us examine. What is the difference between searching and between examining? What is the difference between the two? So actually, Rabbeinu Yoin himself, see, we're learning now Shar Rishon. But later on, in Shar Gimel, Ben Yoin points out that Chippus, searching, it means the quantity. Try to figure out the quantity means all areas of sin that you can think of, that you can find. That's the quantity of sin. Nach Koir is talking about the quality of the sin. Two people can do the exact same sin, but a totally different quality. One does it with more fervor, one does it more intensely. The other one just does it superficially. So the echus, the quality of the avera, is another factor. So nach pesod derochenu v'nach koiru, when it says to search and to examine, one's referring to finding out the quantity, all the various averas that I might have done. And v'nach koiru means to investigate. Investigate means something to look deep into it. Looking into it meaning is looking into that which you have already, those sins that you have found already, but find out the quality of the avera. How serious was the avera that you have done? Now, Shari mentions this, that you have to realize this is true even before you're doing tshuva. In other words, someone who is about to become a Baal tshuva, of course, also has a chiyuv to try to find out all of the averus and the extent of his averus. But what the Shari tshuva is telling us here, that this practice should not end. But this is something, this is part of the Baal tshuva process when somebody is a Baal tshuva. He should continuously be trying to search and to find out and to take inventory and stock, something, an idea that was mentioned a number of weeks ago. A person should continue to take inventory and stock of himself, also of his past, and to find out the quantities again and the qualities. And he says as follows, V'yasekei Shloisha Devarim. There are three purposes. There are three positive purposes why it's important to keep examining and searching our ways. Leman Yiskor, first of all, Kol Advarim Shechot Aleim, that in order he is able to remember, to remind himself by searching. So now he's going to find out and remember all the things, all the areas that he sinned. The Yizvada al Kulam will be able to say vidui and confess on all of them. Ki ha vidui mi ikre hakapore. So the first reason is try to find out all of your averis, because you need to know the averis in order to say vidui. Which you can see right here, as we see many, many things inadvertently where we find out from Rabbeinu Yoina. He takes the position. Of course, he was a Rishonim himself. He doesn't have to apologize to anybody. But you know that there's a machlokes in Rishonim whether when someone says vidui, when someone says vidui, when you're confessing on the averus, is it important to be mefarid the chet? Is it important to really describe and pronounce exactly what type of aver was, or can I just generalize that I'm doing tshuva on all my averis, whatever it is? Is it important really to enumerate and to list them by name? And this, in fact, is a machlokes. And the shita of the Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova Masechtas Yuma, that what that tzorach lefarit achet, that a person has to be mefarit, that a person should really describe the avera. When he's saying vidu, he should describe it. I did this, and I did that, and so on and so forth. Kach v'kach osisi. Which is in contrast, that's why it's important to know, because it's in contrast to the Shulchan Aruch. Because in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Resh Zayin, pasukas like the Rif and the Rosh, which the Aloch is like the Tanakama, that Me'ikar Adin ain't tzorech lifroi tachet. That one does not have to be mefaret the chet. And therefore, Rabbi Yoyne apparently takes the position. He says, Nach pesod rochenu v'nach koiru, that it's important that we search and examine our ways to be able to find, right, to be able to find out and to be reminded what our veiras are, in order to be able to say vidui properly. So therefore, what it seems from Ben Yoyne, that he takes the position that it's necessary to know what our veiras are, to be able to bring them out, to bring out our past veiras, in order to remember them. So now when we say vidui, we're able to direct our attention and focus to those veiras. So that is one nekuda. That is one reason, because he said there are three reasons why it is important to keep examining and searching our ways. Hasheni. The second reason is, it's important that a person should really know how many averis and sins that he has done, because that will bring him again to humility. Again, a thought, an idea that Shari Tshuva mentions over and over again, that one of the fundamental practices and midos of the Baal Tshuva is to be humble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be humble, and before mankind as well. So, one of the things that will enable to humble him when he really realizes, oh, really, I did all that? Is that what I did? Because as time goes along, you may just remember generally that you have sinned. But if you try to recall exactly, this is what I've done, and that is what I've done, and so on and so forth, this will bring you to the midah of hachno, of humility, and of hashlishi. And the third purpose of nachpus adrochenu v'nachkoiru, to search and examine our ways. What is the third purpose? Hashlishi, the third purpose is, he says, that even though a person is ready, generally speaking, he says, I am ready to abandon any avera. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Yoyne, it's not enough just to generalize, I will stop doing sins. So why is it so important for me to recall what I've done in the past? Should be enough. The fact is that I'm committed, I'm resolving, with clear resolve, with true resolve, I will stop sinning. Whatever it is, I will not sin. Why is it important to try to remember what you have done? So he says, because then you are able to make fences, and to protect your neshama from the yetzer that is plotting and is ambushing against you. What Rabbi Yoyne is saying, those are averes that you have sinned already, you are already prone to sin again because the Yetzer Hara already had you. The Yetzer Hara already trapped you. Therefore, in order to be able to avoid sinning again, you have to make fences. You have to create within yourself barriers and mechitzes. And in order to create a barrier, you have to know what the Aveira is, to create a getter for that particular Aveira. So Rabbi Yoni tells us, in order for the Baal Tshuva to be successful, to be able to successfully with Hatzlocha, to continue on his new derech, and not to repeat the Aveiras of the past, because the Yetzer Hara is lurking to be machshul you in the averes of the past due to the fact that he was already successful. So what's my guarantee, or what are my tools to be able to protect myself against sinning again on those same averes? Is through constructing gidorim, constructing fences, constructing mechitzes, preventives. Just don't go to areas that you know that you are weak in those areas. If you can't control your liquor, stay away from bars. Or maybe go around the block, don't even pass one. So that's the situation. And in each and every area, you have to create your own gedorim and to protect yourself. Because once you have sinned in the past in any particular area, ki nafshoy alulo behem, your nefesh is already prone to sin. Achreya sheniklu beinov, being that the sensitivity already has been lost, the sholat yitzra behem, and the Yitzhar is sholat, the Yitzhar already has dominion over you. And he goes on to point out, he says, "V'nei nafshoi." He says, "Choyle mahamase mohem." The truth is, when a person sins, you realize when a person sins. So now, in a certain sense, his neshama is sick, is ill. So in the same way, he says, in the same way when a person is ill and he's on the road to healing, what this kind of a person has to worry about very, very much is that he does not relapse. Because if you are sick already once and you relapse the second time, it's much worse. Ben Yonah draws the same marshal, the same analogy. He says, the chayle ha-nefesh, he calls it. When someone sinned, his neshama in a certain sense is chayle, is ill, and therefore, it's not enough that he says, I'm going to do tshuva, but he has to be extra careful to make sure that he doesn't fall back. He doesn't have a relapse. That's why he has to know what the aveira is, to construct the gedarim, construct the fences. That's what he points out. Nafshoy chayle ma'masim ahem. His neshama really is sick from those ma'asim. Va'chayle kashe yochel la'havri. And the chayle, he says, when he begins to, right, when he begins to get better, so he has to be very careful that what? That he does not relapse again. Same thing when you're dealing in the spiritual illnesses, to be very careful not to relapse. And that's why Rabbi Yonah points out that it's important that he knows the averas of the past, to be able to make sure he doesn't repeat it. This is reason number three that he said is in order to make gedorim, to protect himself from sinning over again. So that's the principle number 11, which is nachbus adrachenu v'nachkoiru. So, on the one hand, the Baal Tshuva, of course, is makabel upon himself to stop sinning in general. But on top of that, that he's makabel upon himself, aziv is achay, to stop sinning in general, but at the same token also, he has to be ready to try to find out as much as possible those averis which already he slipped in, to be able to make sure that dafkin those areas he will not slip again, and certainly not to sin in new areas that he did not up till now. We go further now. Now we go to the 12th principle. What is the 12th principle? 12th principle really is the following. Let's point out, you know, the Baal Tshuva basically who had sinned and now he's turning over a new page in his life. The truth is, in order to appreciate, you know, the new life, you have to really understand how bad the old life was. So if a person in his past history had many, many averis, but he does not really appreciate the extent of how serious this aver was in contrast to a different aver and so on and so forth, then he will not really be able to succeed to the maximum of a Baal Tshuva. And he goes on to point out, that's why he says, a Baal Tshuva has to really study sins. A Baal Tshuva also has to study the subject of averis. You have to study the nature of averis. What are the oinshim of averis? And to understand this averi carries this oinish, and the other averi carries a lower oinish. This one carries a different kind of an oinish. As he goes on to point out the importance of studying, having an understanding what the oinshim of the averis are. That is, says the Iker Shnei Mosa, that is principle, which is the 12th principle. Which averis carry the oinish of stripes, and which one are so serious, krisis means that his neshama, right, is cut off from his appropriate share from olam haba, and which type of averis carry mises bezen at the time that there was a bezen, then would be chayav misa, the bezen with paskins chayav misa, and so on. The reason, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's important to know the severity of the Avera, because Laman Yeda Goydel Avoinoi Behiz Vadoisoi, that in order that he should know the extent of the Avera when he says Vidui, so V'yemorer Bevchi, so now he can cry with bitterness, Al Asher Hichis Tamrurim, that he angered Hashem so bitterly, Ulaman Yosef Lehikona, and therefore he will have humility even to a greater extent. When Yoina says as follows, we find out a fascinating thing. When a person says vidui, and a person therefore he confesses, and he says vidui on an avera, when Yoina says the greater the avera, the quality of the vidui also has to be greater. It's not enough that you say the words al chait this and al chait that. But the extent, so truly what it means is when you get to the different al chaits, not all al chaits are on the same level. There's al chaits loshon hara, there's al chaits geneva, there's al chaits doing serious averas, you can have chilul Shabbos and so on and so forth. When you come to a particular al-chait that carries with it a greater oinish, which means it's a more serious avera, the person really should focus stronger and the tsar and the pain regarding that particular avera should be to a higher degree. But that's only possible if you know that this avera carries with it a greater einish. So the quality of your vidur really should be on a higher level. So by the way, when Rabbi Yonah tells us, tsarech sheyachkor, what do we see right away? Tsarech sheyachkor from the Loshen. It goes back to the posik. In other words, Rabbi Yonah again, this is a takeoff on the posik that we started in today. In the previous paragraph, we said, Nach pesod rachenu v'nach koira. Nach koira means to examine, to investigate. So according to what Rabbi Yonah is adding to the definition of v'nach koira, what would you be investigate? Investigate the seriousness of the avera. Investigate the severity of the avera. Find out how chomer the avera is. Again, as he says, L'man yeda goydla avoynoi b'svadoysa v'yemora b'vchi al asher hichis tamrurim. And therefore he can cry out with bitter tears. It says that he angered Hashem. L'man yosef v'hikoran, bring it to a greater level of humility, and also Laman Yifchad. The greater he realized that Avera was, it'll instill a fear of sin. Mavenoisov. Ki Averis Achamur is because when it comes to very serious Averis, we know the Gemara tells us some Averis, tshuva alone is not enough, but you need more things. For example, tshuva toila, tshuva will basically just suspend the kapara. Will suspend the kapara temporarily via Yisurin Mamarkin, but you may still need some Yisurin, depending on the degree. So it's important, therefore, to understand the degree and the severity of the Avera. The Chen Kosa, we find the Posek similarly, we find in Yirmiyah. In Yirmiyah, the Posek says, Re'i Darkech Bagai, which means find out your road in the valley, the I Me Osis, find out what you have done. The Posek in Yirmiyah is telling Yidden that they should really take stock of themselves and find out what they have done. And the way Shaar Tshuva tries to explain it is not only find out what you have done, but what it means is find out what you have done, the quality of what you have done. Find out what the qualities of what you have done, and thereby, the vidui that you will say will therefore be also on a higher quality. Because to the extent of the Avera, to the Madrega of the Avera, so also the vidui also has to be said all the more to a higher degree. So your Dargif Tshuva also has to be enhanced, depending on the extent of the Avera. He says, regarding on this principle, this 12th principle, he says, Bishar Shlishi, in the third shar, third gate, because we're learning still Shar Rishon, it's still the first shar. One more, Abayisai. Lamad Ches, Ho'ikar HaShlishi also. Do part of it. He says, the 13th principle, he says, Lihois, Ho'averois, Hakalois, Chamurois, Beinov. Ben Yonah here is telling us a very important thing. He's telling us that we have to adopt an attitude. There's no such thing as a light avera. But every avera, whenever you transgress, whenever you went against the word of Hashem, there's no such thing as an easy avera. And this is something that you have to work within yourself to gain that understanding. That is the 13th principle. Liyois haaveros hakalos, as he says, that the so-called light averas chamur is beinov. And he says, la'arbo ponim. There are really four purposes. Four purposes why it's important that you come to realize there's no such thing as an Avera Kala. Ho'echot. Purpose number one, he says. Ki ein lo, he says, lahabit lekatnes hu Avera, avl yabit legdulas mi shehizer oleo. Ben Yonah really is telling us that the truth is that a person, instead of looking at the act of the Avera, why don't you look against whom you have sinned? Which means that every time a person does an Avera, there are actually two aspects. There are two aspects to each and every Avera. One aspect is the damage of the Avera itself. Whenever a person sins, there is damage. It's causing damage, A, to your own neshama. Your own neshama is being, right, is being ruined, is being niskalkil, is being spiritually unclean, and so on and so forth. But in addition to that, you rebelled against Hashem. You rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even if a person would try to rationalize, well, the act, the Aveira itself is not so damaging. It's not one of these great Aveiras. Not one of these big Aveiras. But instead of looking at the vantage point from the act itself of the Aveira, why don't you look from the vantage point that what? That you rebelled against Hashem. Hashem told you to do otherwise. And by doing this Aveira, the so-called light Aveira, from the vantage point of rebelling against Hashem, it's very serious. So that's Rabbi Yonah pointing out. That is one of the nekudas. That is one of the nekudas that there's no such thing really. A person should understand that the averas are called, the so-called light averas are really chamuras. Because don't look at the act itself in isolation. You know how serious the avera seems to be or doesn't. But rather look against whom you have sinned with this light avera. You've sinned against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Look at the godless of Misha Hizraleo. Look at the godless of the one who warned you against this. And you transgressed. And you opposed his will. You went against his will. Of course, now making it quite serious. Vasheni. Another reason why a person should really develop the idea that the Averis Kalos, that the so-called light Averis, are really Chamuris. Kayetzer Shoilet ba Averis HaKalos. The truth is, when you believe in your mind that these Averis are light Averis, they're not serious Averis, your Yetzirah has a hold over you. Now you have become vulnerable to the Yetzirah. The Ulai Tie Zoy Sibela Hasmit Bohen. Because this now will become a catalyst, it will become a reason, it will become a cause for you to repeat these Averis. Because in your mind you have developed the idea, it's not gefelich, it's not so bad. And therefore the Yetzirah now has you. He says, V'oz, and you know what happens? Ben Yonah says, even the so-called light Averis, if you repeat them, and we know this is also, you know, in our world also, you know, something called a repeated offender, first-time offender, you know, sometimes, you know, there's some grace. But if it's a repeated offender, and if he repeats it many, many times, so even a small, right, a small indiscretion becomes more serious. You repeated it. Ben Yehuda says, the Averis HaKalos, if you go with the attitude that these are Averis Kalos, and the Yetzirah therefore will have the ability to make you sin many times, many times accumulate. Many times the small Averis, so to speak, accumulate, and now they become very serious. So the Averis Kalos, by virtue of quantity, you have looked at, as far as the quality is concerned, the echus, it's not so serious. But now you can repeat it many, many times, it's going to become very serious. Accumulation. Ben Yonah points out, because each time you do it, it carries its own einish, its own punishment. And he gives the following moshel, a very good illustration. He said, "Umishlu al zeh." He said, the moshel for this is, "Michut shel meshi." Think if one person has a chut, he has a strand. He has a strand, he has a thread of silk. The thread of silk is quite weak, right? You can tear it very easily. Shuhinirpa v'cholosh is very soft and it's very silk. It's very, very soft and it's very weak. But take that weak strand, that weak thread of silk, and you combine it with 4, 5, 6, 10, 15. Take many strands, wind them together, now they become one thick rope. It says, v'chashiyich p'loitzah k'folim rabim. When you come, right, and you double them together many, many times over, Yeyose Ovois Chazoket, become very thick, one thick piece of rope. So when you're the same thing is, those Averis Kalos, if you'll be Nichshol many times, you have turned them into very serious Averis. Very serious Averis, in fact. So therefore you have to understand, there's no such thing as an Avera Kalo. Because those Averis Kalos, he says, will cause you to slip with that notion, with that idea. And then, even according to your understanding, you're going to make them very serious. But the very fact that you're going to repeat them over and over again, thinking that these are only Averis Kalos. And you yourself have created a monster and turned them into Averis Chamuris. So the preventive for that is to realize they are Averis Chamuris to begin with. And therefore prevent yourself, don't allow yourself to slip in these Averis Kalos. Hashlishi. The third thing he says, because if they are Averis Kalos, if they are light Averis, if they are not serious Averis in your mind, and you allow yourself repeatedly to sin, eventually you lose the sensitivity altogether and you start believing it's okay, it's mutter. Over Vishana, the Gemara says, is Nasa Lekeheter. So Ben Yonah says, Vashlishi kiba Hasamodosa el Avera. Hasamodosa means Hasamode. By a person, by repeating a particular Avera, Nasa Lekeheter. So now the Avera becomes Mamish Mutter, the Yifroik Ula Meyolov. And Mamela, it will remove the entire yoke from him. He no longer even thinks there is a yoke. There is a reason to prevent, to stop doing this Averit. V'yishtamra memeno, he will not do things to protect himself from that. V'yechoshev imparkei oilu mumrim u'dovrechot. And then he'll become categorized among all those others who are known as the mumrim. Mumrim are people who openly, clearly do Averis because they don't care. In this particular Averit, a person become a mumrim u'dovrechot. He loses sensitivity in one area. And then he's called a mumer. He's a transgressor outright and won't have any feeling to want to do tshuva because he lost the whole sensitivity regarding this avera. And certainly as mentioned before, the more you do the avera, it becomes very serious, and of course then the oynish is all the more. Baharavi, and finally the fourth reason, why a person lives with the notion, a person lives with the idea that there's no such thing as an avera kala. This is something he has to study, he said. This is something that he has to work on. to realize that all Averis Kalis should be Chamurais Be'enov. And here is the reason he says, and this is something in everyday life, because this is the way the strategy of the Yetzer Hara works. Ki im nitzchoy hayoyim hayetzer bedover koton, yinatzcheu mochor bedover godel. The way the Yetzer Hara works is the Yetzer Hara does not come to entice you, to persuade you to do great Averis. He knows he has no chance. You're not going to listen to him. He tries to get his foot into the door. He tries to get you to slip in the small areas. Once you open the door and you let him in, then he has more control, and then even more control, and even more control. As the Gemara says many, many times, that the Yetzer Hara says, the Gemara, Mesechta Sukkah, B'tchila Doim L'chut Shel Buchia. The beginning, Yetzer Hara appears to be just as weak, he says, is like the spider web, like the web of a spider. No human being is very frightened about the web of a spider. All you need to do is just take a finger, just give it a flick, and you're able to tear the spider web. That's the way the first appearance is. But the Saif, that thin spider web that the Yetzer Hara came to you the very first time, he happens to be like the thick rope of which you pull a wagon. Kavoisos for eglos, says the Gemara. Or kavoisos for agolos, the Gemara says. The Gemara quotes a pasuk on that. What do you mean l'besoif? L'besoif means once you allow yourself to be taken in by the Yetzer Hara, so then the Yetzer Hara already has a greater dominion over you. The Yetzer Hara has more control over you, and then he can entice you. Even the Gemara tells us, he becomes the balabais over you. Hayoyim omis l'kach, l'mocha oyim l'ocha sekach, till even to entice you to be oyvir aboy dezor. At kedei kach. Which is something that there was no inkling. There's no havimin at the beginning, at the outset, that Yitzhar would have any success in that area. But little by little, he'll find his way and to inch his way all the way to bring your downfall to a low that you can never imagine possible. And that, Rabbi Yoni says, is because you thought it's only an Aveira Kala. So you allowed the Yetzer Hara in. He says, if the Yetzer Hara is menatzeach you today, bedover koten, yinatzcheu mocha bedover godel. And here it brings down the Gemara says in Shabbos. Gemara says in Shabbos. If a person breaks, gets so angry, you find people, they lose their temper, and they throw pieces of crystal, they throw glass, smash it against the wall. The Gemara says if someone does that, it's a form of idol worship. And the way to understand is because if you lose control over yourself, you look at yourself, you somehow lose sight that there is a Rabbeinu Shloim in the world, that there is a Creator in the world, and when you have to deal with situations that come along your way in a Torah-digger way, in a way of knowing that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. When a person basically serves himself, you're not serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Losing your temper, in a sense, that person becomes so enslaved to himself that he has to break a kli. He breaks kalim, breaks the vessels. In his anger, it's a certain sense he should view it as if this is the way of the Yetzer Hara. In Shaar Tshuva we see a new definition. What's the comparison if someone breaks Kalim? Someone breaks Kalim in anger, it's as if he was Oyv Avodah Zorah. Ben Yoyin tells us a new definition. You know why? Other Mefarshim say, like we just said right now, a person loses control to the extent, so much, that he becomes enslaved to himself. In a certain sense, he worships his own ego. He worships his own feelings. He has no control, Bechlal. In a certain sense, he's worshiping himself instead of worshiping the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So breaking Kalim in anger, in a fit of anger, losing control to that extent is a form of idol worship. Ben Yonah has a different definition. He says, if the Yetzer Hara was able to get you to lose control, to break Kalim, tomorrow, next week, next month, and a half a year from now, is going to lead to Avodah Zarah. Because the way of the Yetzer Hara is, today he has a little control over you, tomorrow he has more control over you, and the day after, even more. So the Shaar Tshuva is learning. When the Gemara tells us that someone who breaks Kalim in his anger, it's as if he worshipped Avodah Zarah, because this is the opening now. This is the opening. You have now entered the highway, which is going to lead to Avodah Zarah. You have allowed yourself to become ensnared into the trap of the Yetzer Hara, which is going to lead you over there. So Rabbi Isai, so we see here the few principles that we've seen today from Rabbi Yoina. Interesting to point out, Rabbi Yoina mentioned before that a person should we should search our ways and examine our ways. Quoted a pasuk in Eicha. The truth of the matter is, very interesting is, you can find there is a very interesting thing. There's a Gemara Masechta Yumin Daf Chof Ches. You might remember it. The Gemara says that when they did the Avodah on Yom Kippur, Lamashal, And the Avodah on Yom Kippur and the Beis Hamikdash had to be done early morning. So they used to send someone on top of the roof to see if there's already daybreak, if dawn has already been sighted. And the Gemara says, the way the question that was asked is, Heir Pnei Mizroch Ad Shebechevroi. In other words, it's not enough that you see some sun or rays over the horizon. But is it enough light that you can see from Yerushalayim all the way down to Chevron? Then you can be sure it's daylight. So the Gemara asks the question, why is it important, if you see the rays of dawn, why does it have to be so clear to see all the way to Chevron? Why is it not enough, the Gemara asks, why is it not enough just to see if there's already rays are breaking over the horizon? Why is it important that it goes all the way to Chevron? The Gemara tells us because once they made a mistake. Once it was such a clear moon, that it appeared that this was already the beginning of the morning. And as a result, they started doing the Avodah, and then they realized that in fact it was not, that actually it was only the moon. They made a mistake, and the Avodah was done during the night, which is not kosher. So in order to avoid that, because it was a michshel b'shaygik, it was an accident, true, it was an accident, so they made a takona, therefore it should never happen again. What was the takona? It's not enough just to see a little bit of light in early morning, but to make sure that the light goes all the way up to Chevron. What do you see from that? You see, when there's a michshel, took place an accident, then you rectify it. You do things differently. Preventives. You see that you have to erect and construct gedorim in order not to repeat the same aveirim. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us. To see to it, recall the aveirim that you have slipped in order to be able to make gedorim. As we just quoted from the Mishnah Yuma. And the Mishnah Yuma, in fact, which they would say, Heir Pnei Mizroch Ad Shebechevroi, now, to avoid the mistake that we made, of course, in the very first time. So we find out, of course, the various etzes that Rabbeinu Yonah gives us over here. And we see again that vidui, which is important, let's remember, vidui is not the same for each and every aveira. Yeah, we say the same words. But those particular aveiras in the al-chetz that carry within themselves greater onshim, Mrs. Bezin, and so on and so forth, like Chilu Shabbos and the others, then Yonah says that a person's really, the quality of his vidui should also be on a higher level. And Rabbi Yonah tells us again, if a person believes on a particular Avera, that's an Avera Kala, that's one of the lighter Averas, one of the dangers are that the Yetzer Hara will find it easy to entice him in this Avera. After all, it's an easy Avera. At the end of the day, he says it's going to become mutter. It'll totally become mutter towards his life. So this is a fact that we find, the Gemara tells us this is something that we have to be very careful that this does not happen to us. Because unfortunately we tend to step many times in an area and we lose the sensitivity. When we lose the sensitivity, then we do not feel the need and the importance to really try to be misakin it and to rectify it. Let me just mention, and this is, again, we're just about almost out of time, that I believe it was more than 30 years ago. More than 30 years ago, it was somewhere in the Midwest, there was a particular bacher who went to learn Yerushalayim in the Mir Yeshiva, and for about 2 years. And then he planned to come back to America. So one of his chavruses was a Yibod L'chaim, Yedid Choshev, to our family, was one of the Rosh Yeshivas Emir, was Yibarach Finkel. My son Moshe learned by him for quite a number of years. He was very, very close to him. Actually, this is it almost doesn't mean much because every bacher really wanted to be close to him could be close to him. It's a type of Rosh Yeshiva that he just, how one man was able really to give so much attention to so many Talmidim. It's because of the specialty of that particular person, had a big enough of a heart and the will to be able to take in, to be mechabed each and every Talmud, to make him feel like he's really your own. That was something very unusual, Mida, that he had with Rabbi Yibarach Finkel. Unfortunately, he was nifter very, very young, as one knows. Moshe would eat Shabbos by him many, many times, but other Bachram as well. And, this is the way he was. He had many, many Bachram over for Shabbos and so on. So this particular Bachram, after 2 years learning Yerushalayim, many, many from our shul also, Talmidim, who learned there. Aaron Weiss was a Talmud there, and others from the shul here learned with Rabbi Yibarach. So this particular, so he wanted a bracha, the mashgiach, you know, in Ponovich was Chatzka Levenstein. Chatzka Levenstein, famous mashgiach. So he wanted a bracha before he goes back to America, to get a bracha from the mashgiach, but he felt very uncomfortable going to the mashgiach. So Rabbi Yibarach said, listen, here's another thing, Rabbi. He said, you know, I'll go with you. It's a trip from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. different shlamta bnei brak. So I'll go with you. I'll accompany you, so you'll be able to get the bracha from the mashgiach. By the way, Chatz Chaim Lemishtein was nifter 1974. Chatz Chaim Lemishtein. So I'd like to have a bracha. So go together, him, Rabbi Yibarach, with the Talmud. They go. So Chatz Chaim Lemishtein had a very, very small apartment. And they come to the apartment. The bracha comes in together with Rabbi Yibarach, and the mashgiach spoke in Yiddish. You know, sometimes when you translate Yiddish in English, it doesn't come out exactly the same way. Also, Yiddish has certain nuances. That some words you just can't exactly translate. Either you know it or you don't. It doesn't. You just get around it. But anyway, so he comes and he says to him. He comes to the mashgiach. The mashgiach asks the bracha. He says the following question. He says, mit was forst du zurück, which means to say is, with what are you going back? Nu, mit was forst du zurück, he said, with what are you going back? So again, he didn't understand. He said, with what are you going back? He says, with LL. He answers, what are you going back? I'm going back, he says, with LL. So Haskell couldn't believe the answer, because it was such a push the question, so he says again. He says, nein, ich mein, wus nimmst du mit? He says, what I mean, he says, what are you taking with you? Innocently, he says, two suitcases. So he says, his poshe was clueless. He just didn't understand what the question was. So finally, he explained to him, and he said to him, that you learned 2 years, he says, in Yerushalayim, you left your home, now you're coming back. You spent 2 years, hopefully it was productive years, and now you're going back. You're bringing back many, many milas, midos, a lot of Torah, and of course you're a greater madrega, you're a greater baal midos, and this should be something that you take with you, you know, which should stand by you for the rest of your life. So hopefully you're not going empty-handed. Means you are bringing back, you know, you're a better person. You're not the same person, of course, that when you have come, and this should really remain with you, and always remember the lessons that you have been taught, and that is really something that you take with you, and is really completely yours. What I'm saying is, I think the same thing that we have spent, I guess, 20 shurim this season in learning Shari Tshuva. And we ask ourselves, v'snat memit, what are we taking with us from some of these lessons? So even a very small percentage, no matter what it is, but I think even just hearing it, now these are things you don't hear every day, and if even went out one ear, it goes through the other ear, you know, but the fact that it went through, you know, there's going to be something that's going to stick. There's something there that's going to stick. You know, when you have things going through a pipe, you know, there's always going to be some residue. In this case, it's going to be the positive residue. So, as Hashem, we should be zeichet to have a healthy summer, and to meet again, voice again, Meshem next season, with the gesund, and to be able again to continue our growth in Avodas Hashem with a lot of atzlach and ziyad and ishmael.